Did you know there's a light bulb in California that hasn't gone out since 1901? So why does it feel like I'm replacing mine every 6 months? I mean, half the reason we buy so much new stuff is that our old stuff keeps breaking. Well, there's a reason for that. Planned obsolescence. Giles Slade is the author of Made to Break, Technology and Obsolescence in America. Charles Monroe Cain called him up to ask, what is wrong with my dishwasher?
So I bought a new dishwasher about 23 months ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
It has a 24-month warranty. I'm now on 25 months of owning that dishwasher, and it's going bad.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that happens to me all the time. Maybe it's anecdotal, but all my friends talk about it. Same with cars. Is that actually built in?
Can I guess a brand name?
Sure, go ahead.
Is it a Maytag?
It is a Maytag. Well, tell me what's going on, man.
Well, okay. So think about this, first of all. I mean, you have this thing that used to be a luxury item. It was marketed towards women as a labor-saving device, a luxury item. Okay, except now, you can't go and buy a condo or a house without one in it. It's a luxury item that's become accepted as a standard necessity. But the device itself, unless, you know, you're willing to spend thousands of dollars on a Miele, the device itself is essentially disposable, and you got 24 and a half months out of it.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good. Now, did you try to repair it first?
Yes, I did. I tried it. And it's funny because the guy came to have it repaired and he says it was the spinning mechanism. And he said, oh, yeah, those things go out.
And did you try to disassemble the spinning mechanism?
I did try to disassemble the spinning mechanism.
Did you break the spinning mechanism?
I did break it. And that's why I had to have the guy come and put in a new one for $150.
Okay. Now that's planned obsolescence. Okay. So they're forcing you into a position as often as they can, where you're making a decision between repair or new, repair or new. And Apple's the champion of this.
Not to be too frank here, but doesn't that kind of piss you off? I just feel like I'm being lied to and manipulated.
Okay, now there's all kinds of knock-on sociological effects of the fact that, yes, in fact, you are being lied to. You're being misrepresented, and really they're selling you this one so they can sell you a better one later on. Yeah. But imagine a whole culture based on the devaluation of truth and the habit of honesty, okay?
Wow.
You have this 150, 200-year tradition of being cheated and manipulated in this way, and eventually it has knock-on effects where you do not expect a manufacturer to have honest relationships with you, and then perhaps you do not expect your elected representatives to have honest business relationships with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to take it to what I think is the pinnacle. I'm sitting here hearing you talk, and I'm thinking about waste.
Yeah.
And I think about climate change, which is no accident that this corresponds with, of course, modern capitalism and corresponds with this planned obsolescence. How atrocious is this for the environment?
Well, it's. I mean, you've heard this before. It's completely unsustainable. I mean, we can't. You know, it was okay when maybe 5% of the globe, 10%, you know, 23%, engaged in this rampant consumerism that made us all rich and gave us this material well-being that's basically unrivaled in the history of the world. But, of course, the trouble with that is everybody wants it, which is not to say they don't deserve to have it. Of course they do, as much as anybody does, but at the same time, there's not enough stuff to make the stuff that everybody wants, and we're just going to go into a hole of destroying the planet in order to achieve that stuff.
How did we get here? How did obsolescence become part of our daily consumer life?
Capitalism works well because we need to buy new things regularly, so what America really invented, which is a precursor and a requirement for planned obsolescence, is disposability. We discovered early on in the teens or 20s, and actually before that, because King Camp Gillette the guy who invented the disposable razor blade, had been trying to do this for 20 years. He worked for a guy who invented the bottle top, the crimped bottle top. He realized, working for this guy, that what he needed was a manufactured item that could only be used once so that massive amounts of it could be produced and purchased. And we're at this peculiar moment in history where we require, you know, massive amounts of disposable items, and we can't produce them fast enough to meet the pandemic need. We need tests that can be carried on your person and performed immediately with results immediately. We can't meet that need yet. And we need hundreds of thousands, millions of items of PPE, and we can't meet that need yet.
I have a question for you about imagination. Are we even capable of a culture to even imagine a different world?
Well, with our choice of culture, with material culture, consumer culture, there are a whole series of different decisions that have actually already been made. But I think a lot of people, especially these days, are critiquing American society, consumerist society, global capitalist society in very interesting and correct ways. And I think we've perceived that this unrivaled pursuit of wealth and greed and material has a real downside to it. It doesn't give us what we need most, which is community, relationships with other people. And so, you know, for us, a new technology is inherently a good thing. And there's an assumption inherent in technology that one man should be able to do by himself what many men can do.
Mm-hmm.
This is a powerful technology. And that's a value that's inherently opposed to community. Our basic human needs aren't being fulfilled. We have lost contact with what those basic human needs are. And, you know, we're trying to arrange for cheap and easy substitutes that just don't work.
Giles Slade is the author of Made to Break, and that was Charles Monroe Kane talking with him.